This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
A Richardson Company's fate stands in the hands of the Supreme Court.
Triton Distribution argues that the FDA's block on its flavored products was unfair because the agency changed the rules for submitting studies during the approval process. While federal appeals courts in other circuits have slapped down the flavored products, the Fifth Circuit sided with Triton. A lawyer for Triton said for the FDA to change the rules in the middle of the approval process, then deny use of the product, could mean the end of the company.
Here, it's even more, as the Fifth Circuit pointed out, even more of a sanction, even more punitive. This is closing the doors of respondents' businesses, Your Honor.
The liberal bloc of the court seems skeptical, saying the FDA didn't really change the rules. It had flat out said what it was expecting in terms of studies of kids being attracted to flavored vaping products. From the 24-Hour News Center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
One of three Louisiana men who shot an undercover Dallas police officer during a carjacking has pleaded guilty. 18-year-old Retravian Polk was charged with aggravated robbery. Police say that he and two others from Louisiana drove to Dallas to steal cars. The person they chose at Bachman Lake last year just happened to be an undercover officer. There were shots fired, and that officer did get hurt.
The suspect, at least one of the suspects, then entered our officer's covert vehicle, and both of the suspect vehicles fled the area.
Now, former police chief Eddie Garcia says at the time, the squad car was abandoned. Polk will be sentenced at a later date.
They went to the wrong house. That's the update from the cops after a North Richland Hills man dies.
Last Wednesday, 52-year-old Brian Pence was sleeping at home when police say a bullet pierced his window, struck, and killed him. He was taken to the hospital where he's pronounced dead. Detectives say a car stopped in the middle of Stony Brook Drive just before 11 that night and fired multiple rounds from handguns at his home. It didn't take long for police to find the three men who were involved, arresting them within a day. The shocking discovery was that the men admitted they went to the wrong house and intended to shoot another house over what's being called a juvenile feud. All three are over 18, and police say none are from North Richland Hills. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin, York News Radio 1080, KRLD.
And Texas has a new top cop. Colonel Freeman Martin was sworn in today as the new director of the Texas Department of Public Safety. We get the details from KRLD's Chris Fox in Austin.
The swearing-in ceremony with all the pomp and circumstance out front of the DPS headquarters. Outgoing director Colonel Steve McCraw announced his retirement in August. He's replaced by his deputy director, Colonel Freeman Martin. He says Texas faces the most significant public safety threats and homeland security threats in our lifetime.
We're going to work with our federal partners, and for once and all, we're going to secure the southern border with Mexico.
Governor Abbott thanking Colonel McCraw for his 15 years heading up DPS.
He was able to professionalize the Texas Department of Public Safety into a truly elite status.
In Austin, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, kids who go to Fossil Hill Middle School in the Keller School District are home till Thursday because there's damage at the school. Crews worked on a re-roofing project. Some of the debris caused some damage to the building. District had to close the school so the crews can get it cleaned up. They're planning to reopen on Thursday, but they have to have building techs check out to make sure everything is okay first.
A former Marine is accused of choking a man to death on the subway in New York. That case moves to closing arguments today. The guy's name is Daniel Penny. We've mentioned this story before. He is 24 years old and a former Marine. He's charged with second-degree manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide because of what happened back in May of 2023. It's about a year and a half ago. It was the death of a 30-year-old homeless man named Jordan Neely. Penny put Neely into a chokehold after Neely reportedly started yelling on the train and threatening passengers, although there's no evidence that he actually assaulted anyone. Prosecutors say the chokehold lasted 6 minutes. Neely was pronounced dead after he was transported to the hospital. We'll check in right now with News Nation correspondent Rich McHugh, who is covering the trial. Tell us what we're expecting to hear from each side today in closing arguments.
Sure. So this is the culmination of basically a month-long trial. Closing arguments, the defense has started in this morning. They've been going back through. They've been asking the jurors to imagine themselves in Daniel Penny's shoes. That's the former Marine. As a stranger gets on the subway and goes through, threatening passengers, saying he's ultimately willing to die, and has a angry look in his eyes. They kind of like are trying to put passengers in his perspective and go through all the different scenarios of why Daniel Penny ultimately got up, restrained this person. They're not calling it, his defense is not calling it a chokehold. They're calling it a civilian restraint. That's the first time we've heard that. And the defense is expected to go for several hours today. And then the prosecution's turn, whether we get to that today or not, they're expected to go for about 4.5 hours. Their main argument, the prosecution, is that the chokehold is the sole reason for Jordan Neely's death, and the defense has raised a number of questions about that. Let's say it was a combination of things, that Jordan Neely had the synthetic drug K2 in his system. He had sickle cell anemia. That's a genetic trait, and it was a sickle cell crisis, that there was this struggle going on. So it was a combination of all these factors and the fact that he was a schizophrenic. So that's where it stands. It's going to be up to the jury to decide, ultimately, did the chokehold itself cause his death? And what was the level of intent by Daniel Penny?
You know, I know that you've been there, you've been covering the trial. It's hard to do this, but do you get a sense of maybe which side appears to be, quote unquote, winning at this point in the trial?
Man, it is so hard not. It's so hard to get a sense of, the jurors could go any way on this. My sense from just listening to all the prosecution and the defense, if I had to say in my gut, like if they are going to charge him with anything, they would potentially charge him with the lesser, you know, which is the homicide, which is up to 4 years. But I can also see this jury saying, no, we're not going to, like, we've listened. We've put ourselves in Daniel Penny's shoes. And, you know, a lot of people say this person is a hero for doing what he did, and didn't intend to kill this person, Jordan Neely. And so, you know, imagine yourself in that jury. Could you put someone to jail for a very long time if you didn't know their intent to kill somebody?
And this is a jury of New Yorkers, too. They probably see this stuff on the subway all the time. But at least
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. 12 New Yorkers, and that was part of the defense's strategy, too, in selecting this jury, was that they had to have been a rider of the subway. That was the question that they asked during jury selection, you know, how often do they ride the subway? Because if you've ridden the subway, if you've been in New York, crazy things happen on the subway. You thought you've seen it all, and then the next day something even crazier happens. So New Yorkers, I think, are pretty used to this type of stuff. Maybe not to this extent, where somebody gets on a train and is threatening to kill people. My guess is that, you know, I don't know. I don't want to be in a position to guess beyond that. But
and let me ask you this. And Penny, he didn't take the stand in this, and I know that he has said, or at least his defense team has said, that he didn't intend to kill anyone. Why didn't they put Penny on the stand and have him tell a story?
Well, they said his defense team came out after court and said, look, the reason we didn't put him back on the stand at all is because you heard from him, the jury heard from him in his own words before he even had an attorney, speaking to police officers in this interrogation video that was played over and over in court. It was after the incident. He was in the precinct describing what had happened. By his own admission, he didn't really understand that this person, Jordan Neely, had died at that point, and was speaking candidly about it all, saying, look, I didn't want to harm this person. And so I think their feeling was that if they put him back on the stand, it would be a chance for the prosecution to pick apart more of what he's saying. Instead, right, just listen to it in this video.
Rich, listen, thanks so much. It's good information. We appreciate the time. That is News Nation correspondent Rich McHugh. He's covering the Daniel Penny trial, closing arguments today in New York City. Final week of college football's regular season left us with a lot of memories.
Yeah.
Not all of them good, with close to a half a dozen brawls breaking out. Worst of them, though, by far at the end of Michigan's 13-10 upset of Ohio State in Columbus, Ohio, in the horseshoe.
Something interesting is going on the field right now. Michigan tried to plant their flag in the middle of the Ohio State field, and the Buckeyes rushed right to them. And now there's some skirmishes going on the field. Unsportsmanlike gesture by the Wolverines. Unnecessary. They've won the game. No need to be disrespectful.
Well, clearly that guy went to Ohio State.
Yeah, come on. This was nasty, because they were really throwing haymakers. There were people jumping on the ground, wrestling, and I didn't expect the fight to get this crazy. But I think this is kind of fun for college football. I don't have a problem with it. I don't know why everyone was freaking out.
Until someone gets hurt, I guess.
Well, that's true. They were maced, I think, or pepper sprayed a few times. So.
Buckeyes head coach Ryan Day, he was a little more careful about what he said. He didn't just come right out and endorse what happened, but he still kind of sort of defended his team's reaction.
I talked to the team after the game, and, you know, again, without knowing all the details, you know, there's some prideful guys on our team that, you know, aren't just going to sit back and watch that happen. So
Michigan, on the other hand, running back Kalal Mulling says it was Ohio State that overreacted.
You hate to see stuff like that after the game. You know, that's just bad for the sport, bad for college football. But at the end of the day, you know, some people gotta learn how to lose, man. You can't be fighting and stuff just because you lost the game. You know, all that fighting, we had 60 minutes, we had four quarters to do all that fighting. And now people want to talk and fight. That's wrong. You know, it's just bad for the game. Classless, in my opinion. you know, and people got to be better.
Yeah, well, look, dude, the thing is with all of that stuff, that was embarrassing for Ohio State. They were a huge favorite.
Right.
And to get whipped like that,
20-point favorite.
Ryan Day better be checking his resume because he might be out of a job.
He's lost four in a row to Michigan now.
And that's unthinkable in that country, in Columbus.
You can lose every other game, but you better
beat Michigan. You better beat Michigan.
So they had the same situation, meanwhile, in Tucson.
Yeah.
After Arizona State beat
we look good,
baby. You were watching that. Arizona State beat Arizona to clinch a spot in the Big 12 title game. One of their players ran out onto the field and planted the pitchfork or the trident, or what is it exactly?
It's a pitchfork. The problem was it didn't go in because it got turf, so he couldn't get less natural grass.
But he was trying to stick it right in the middle of the Arizona logo, and that led to a lot of pushing and shoving. And then it happened in Tallahassee after Florida beat Florida State on their home field.
Florida plants the flag. We've seen this cause chaos around college football. Started with Michigan, Ohio State, UNC, and North Carolina State got into it. And
they got to get rid of this flag planting stuff. This is causing too many problems here. It's just unnecessary. Florida took care of business tonight. This is just something you absolutely don't need.
This happened also in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. North Carolina State beat North Carolina.
That got pretty nasty, too. And look, the NCAA is going to do something about this. There's no doubt, especially with the SEC and Big 12, Big 10 championships coming up. They're going to do something about it. But I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad.
You know what you can do? You can end it pretty quickly. Say, whoever plants the flag misses the game.
Then everyone's backing off.
That'll take care of that. And it almost happened down in Kyle Field in College Station. Apparently, the Longhorns were planning on doing something like that.
Yeah, Sarkisian, and you just heard that clip I played at the top. Yeah. He ran out there like the good cop and just said,
don't do this.
We're going to win classy.
This is all very reminiscent of that Cowboys 49ers game.
Yeah.
Back on September 24th of 2000. Let's travel back to Texas Stadium when Terrell Owens ran to the star in the center of the field.
Here we go.
They're going to have a big fight. There goes Owens. Puts it down, and George Teague levels it.
Here it goes.
And now Teague is aimed at by an offensive lineman. Flozell Adams pulls Teague away, and Owens is waved to the bench, and he stands in the middle of the star and holds the ball out.
Oh, I remember that.
Jerk.
George Teague, cowboy hero.
I remember him nailing him, but I hated Terrell Owens so much after that.
Best part of that game was at one point of that game, the Cowboys scored. Emmitt Smith scored a touchdown.
That's right, ran it back.
Ran it back and spiked it down in the middle of the field.
Absolutely. So reclaim the stadium.
NCAA's, they're going to have to do something about this. It happens four times in one weekend. There may be some flag rules coming. I know Michigan and Ohio State got hit with huge fines.
Yeah, look, and I like the idea of doing it in college football. You don't see this in the pros. It's very college football kind of thing. Playing it. But the fights are going to happen. You know that's going to happen. So, unfortunately, although I don't get all worked up about this, I think you're going to have to ban it because players do. And they start swinging, and that's when you said somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to swing a helmet, level somebody, and then it's
gonna
really going to be
in. Right. Then you're going to get the lawyers involved.
Oh, yeah.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.